America.
Wake up, America!
Wake up, America. It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in. Yes, please call in. And the call-in number is 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261. Or if you know me and know my Skype, and we've Skyped before, you can Skype in. Although that's going to be a limited privilege. So, that's limited to about 200 of my closest friends. And I want to talk a little bit about what this show's about with my friend here, Bill Bupert, coming on for second night. What is up, Bill Bupert? What's up?
Sorry. That's Bill Bupert of ZeroGov.com.
That is Bill Bupert of Zero. Blah, 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 blah. Man, I usually can say that. I don't know. It's not that strange of a name. It's a very kind of normal name to me now, because I hear Bill Bupert of ZeroGov.com all the time in my head and in my ear.
As you should.
Yeah. Yeah, so Bill and I were talking today about what this show is going to be. It's going to have different guests, but Bill is going to be one of the regular rock stars. And we're going to have a few rock stars like him and Stephanie Murphy and Davy Barker and a few other people. And then we're also going to have a few people that have never been on radio before, because this is going to be the teaching hospital for the next generation of ANCAP libertarian radio show hosts. And what I want to do is I want to have this show be the non-tyranny show. And Bill said it's hard to not talk about tyranny because there's so much of it. And I agree. And occasionally we'll talk about tyranny, but we'll make fun of it. Because what I want to do is, there's a million shows out there that just complain about the government. And they all have liberty in the name, and all they do is talk about tyranny. That's not liberty. So I want to try to do the show that would exist if the government was already out of the way or gone. And that's hard to do, isn't it, Bill?
You know, I think there's a whole spectrum of things we can discuss in that regard, though. We can do everything from life hacking at the real personal level to the existential level, where we can talk about when government finally does evaporate, space travel will become a reality, and we will start to leave the cradle and work our way out of the solar system, make our way across the stars and do that kind of thing. A friend of mine used to kid, he said, you know, whenever you're watching a science fiction movie, you know it's science fiction because anybody who has starships and that kind of capability, obviously they have anarchy on their planet. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to leave the gravity well.
Because government sucks? Is that what you're saying? Because it would suck.
Well, it's a combination
down
of government sucks, and then there would be tax jurisdiction issues for anybody who left the gravity well. State getting their piece of them.
It's kind of like that Simpsons where they're making the movie and the mayor is just adding charges to the Hollywood film company that's there. And finally they're broke and they go to split and go back to Hollywood, you know, bankrupt. And the mayor says, there's a $10,000 leaving town tax.
By the way, Fairfax, Virginia has a going out of business tax. Talk about kicking you in the butt on the way out.
Wow. Yeah. That's kind of like a death tax. While, you know, they say there's nothing more certain than death and taxes, and people joke about the, you know, they call the inheritance tax the death tax, which is pretty accurate. It's not even a joke, really. But that is mind blowing. How much is the going out of business tax in Fairfax County, Virginia?
I don't know. I'll look it up, but I suspect that it's 10%.
Adam Kokesh lives in Fairfax County, Virginia. I wonder if when he went to jail.
No longer. He lives in L.A. now.
Ah, good. Is he going to be a movie star?
You know, he could be, because he's that guy.
Yeah, he
is. I mean, he's got the charisma. He's got the looks. He's got the body. He's like an ANCAP Vin Diesel.
He kind of is. I like the guy. I've sparred with him, and we've beefed, but we've kissed and made up. Big sweaty man kiss over the internet, and he wants to have me on his show to talk about .bit internets when he gets back up and running.
And he's there. He's going to be there soon, and I suspect he'll reach out to you.
And I probably know a couple of people in L.A. I could introduce him to. I used to live there, and I used to make films. I don't even know if he knows that. I don't even know if he knows that I directed a film that was narrated by Robert Downey Jr., and I directed Robert Downey Jr. in the narration. A lot of people don't know that because I'm just some guy on the internet, and you know, they don't. I don't flaunt my. I just did though. I just flaunt my resume, but
you did, and you know what you're doing too is not only are you flogging and flaunting, but you're also speaking tangentially to tyranny, if not directly, and that's not the focus of the show. So you're going to lose the bet if you continue.
How did I speak tangent? I didn't even notice. Point it out to me.
No, when you were talking about taxing and space,
yeah. Oh, well, so, that's allowed if I do it. No, it's allowed.
Okay, here, well, that's
here
fine.
It is. Here's what I don't want to do with this show. I don't want to focus on the government did this today. I just read this in the paper. It's horrible. I have secret documents with blurry red arrows on them, and I'm going to talk for 2 hours about how they're coming to kick in your doors next. I don't want to stimulate the limbic system of people. And, you know, if anybody thinks I'm hiding my head in the sand by not doing this, first of all, I do a show on the weekends where we talk about it extensively with Nima Vedati, the Freedom Fiends. Secondly, there are 100 other shows, you know, 5 of them live right now as we're speaking, that you can go listen to if you really want to have your limbic system overstimulated and be in condition orange all the time. I don't want to live in condition orange. I know that government is horrible, and I know it's out there. Anyway, what I was going to say about Adam Kokesh, I have said before, and this is not a diss, this is just factual, Adam Kokesh looks and sounds and his resume reads to me like if Hollywood designed an ANCAP. You know, I mean, he's muscle bound. He's good looking. He's old enough to know better, you know, old enough to have some life experience and young enough to still be hot to the ladies. He's a veteran, you know, that would be written in there. I mean, the whole package, he carries a gun, he got arrested, but he didn't spend too long in prison. The whole thing just looks like Hollywood scripted that guy.
It does. And you know what? That's better for ANCATs, abolitionists and anarchists. All over the place for that, yeah, to be, man, the case, to have such a high-vis guy. You know, what we need is a Mike Talks life hacking session this evening to see if I can win this
Are
bet.
Are you talking about like TED Talks?
Yes, but I'm calling it Mike Talks because it's your show.
I'm Michael.
I know. I said TED because I didn't say Theodore Talks because TED Talks sounds better.
I just don't go. I just don't go by Mike. It's not my name, Willie.
Man, you're lucky you're long distance.
Why?
Nonetheless.
Why? Because I'm sparring, Michael, with you a tiny bit? You want to beat me up because I have, like, boundaries?
Not at all. We all have boundaries, though.
Yeah. So this show, I wanted to make an announcement. This show is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn, which are the 3 ways that you can get your chromed robot turret, I guess, these days to download podcasts. And we're on the LRN feed and we're on the GCN feed. And we're not on any radio stations yet, but we have an audience. We've been getting emails over the past couple days.
But, Michael, you were telling me in our pre-game show, game show, that you've been pimping yourself out to various radio stations by the hundreds.
Yeah, well, I've been calling radio stations and you were like wondering how that works. Weren't you? And
why don't you explain it to us?
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. We spoke about 8 months ago. I don't know if you remember or not. How you doing? Nah, there's a person. Think about various scenarios. Either you don't remember me, you remember me, you pretend you remember me, or you're too busy to talk to me, or you remember me and wish that you had called me back and you do want to hear what I have to say. Or you're just like, ugh. You're going to be one of those. They're always one of those. So let's try it again. Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. How you doing, Bill? I talked to you about 6 months ago. I have the feisty libertarian clean radio show called the Freedom Fiends on the weekend on Genesis Communications Network.
Peachy, what's up, Michael?
Hey, man. Yeah, you said to call you in about 6 months, and the Freedom Fiends are still going strong. We're on 20 stations now. We'd love to be on your station, but I wanted to let you know. Well, actually, you said to call you in 6 months. It's only been 5 months. The reason I'm calling early is I want to let you know I have a new show. It's a nighttime show. It's called Michael Dean After Dark. It's Monday through Friday, your time zone, midnight to 2 a.m. And can I send you a demo link?
I'd love to see it.
Cool. And then I confirm their email address and I chat them up a little bit more. That's the best I can hope for any call. That's actually getting a hold of the guy. Sometimes I haven't talked to him before and I have to tell him who I am. Sometimes, you know, he's not looking for anything and he cuts me off and tells me, generally it's extremely rare that that call, the guy says, yeah, and calls you back in an hour and puts you on. The thing you have to remember, you asked me before, the show, like, you know, what keeps them from putting you on. And you did bring up the libertarian thing. I mean, Ian Freeman's been doing this for 10 years. And when he started doing it, he had to explain to people what a libertarian was. Now people generally know what it is and kind of have a bad idea of it. Although most of the stations we're on between like Rush Limbaugh and the Cowboy Church Service. I mean, they are very conservative stations. That's talk radio. The liberals won't touch you. Although Free Talk Live are on a couple of progressive talk stations, but that's pretty rare. And it took Ian 4 years to get on 20 stations. It's taken me 10 months, but I'm standing on the shoulders of giants. I have Ian's help. I have, you know, I can drop his name from time to time. It helps that we're on his streaming network. But the main reason we don't get on stations immediately is every station, every radio station in the country is already broadcasting something 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So they have to find a place in their schedule for it if they like it. So it basically means a lot.
Fortunately, you find cases though that happen, like Michael Savage losing like 75% of his total coverage.
Yeah,
and they bring in second tier talk show hosts,
right,
to cover that.
That
opens up other spaces.
That doesn't really affect us though, because generally when a big name goes down like that, like I actually picked the day to launch this because there's somebody who's retiring in this slot who's on like 400 stations who's retiring Monday. God, I can't even remember his name, man. But I should know these better, but I don't really care about other talk shows. I should pay attention. There's just so much to know in life about so many things. So somebody's retiring next week who's actually in a 4-hour slot, an hour before this, our slot, and an hour after it. So I was hoping that would work. Hey, we got a caller here. Let's see who this is. Someone wants to talk about, well, we're going to a commercial. We will take them during the commercial, and we'll bring them back after on the Freedom Fiends. All right, Bill Buford from ZeroGov.com. Yeah.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. I called it the Freedom Fiends when we were going to the break. It's not. That's my other show. That's just a force of habit. So we're talking real quick. I was going to finish what I was saying before we went to the break, before we take this phone call. Basically, you're saying, how do you get on the radio? And you call them up and you're persistent and polite. And you don't call them too often, but you don't call them not often enough that they forget you. It's a weird balance. It's different with different people. But almost every station that's taken us, basically, I've struck up a conversation with the person that's lasted longer than just, here's my info, can I have your email address? Basically, it happens organically. It's not like they're trying you out to see if you can talk, but the program directors that like talking to you tend to be the ones that put you on when they get an opening. Does it make sense?
It makes a lot of sense, and it's great that you're doing this. You called it a teaching hospital early in the program. You've called it on other programs a J school, and you and I both know that the information operations here, the influence operations that we're trying to conduct is such that we're trying to get a wider and wider audience and a wider and deeper appreciation of why self-ownership and self-government is superior to government that is outside of yourself.
Yeah, man, and I really want to create help create, help bring out 40 to 80 people who can do that as well as I can in the next few years. So we're going to take a call here from Liberty in Aurora, Illinois. What you got on your mind, Liberty? Hello? Hey.
Hey, Michael. It's a pleasure to be on here with you.
Cool, man. How'd you find the show?
Well, I've been awaiting the release of your After Dark show for quite a few days. Well, actually, quite a few weeks, actually. I mean, I'm an avid listener to LRN Network. I've heard the Freedom Fiends podcast quite a few times, and I wouldn't say I love Guns and Weed, but I mean, I love Guns and Weed, but I would say I love the documentary, but I really enjoyed it.
Cool. Yeah, we have a movie, Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. The website is gunsandweed.com. You can buy it on Amazon or you can download it free with torrents. And we're actually going to be starting a new project soon of telling people how to get a $35 computer. It's called a Raspberry Pi. It's a little Linux computer. And we're going to set up a downloadable SD drive image that will immediately make it into a Fiends torrenting computer. And you can use it for a lot of other things. Raspberry Pis are pretty darn cool. So what's on your mind, man?
Well, great plug, first off. I mean, you're damn near destined for stardom with your ease of radio. But I wanted to call in and ask you, why should I download Meowbit when I already have a working Free Speech Me?
Is this Jeremy calling?
No.
Okay. well, are you on Windows or Linux?
Windows.
Okay. If you're on Linux, I'd say don't, because our new software, the new software I'm doing with Derek, Meowbit, only works on Linux, so on Windows so far, and actually only on Windows 7 and 8. We're going to open it up for XP pretty soon. Free Speech Me works on Windows and Linux. So if you're on Linux, you can only use Free Speech Me to easily view .bit websites. The advantages that I can see of the new software that I'm doing with someone else. The other thing was with somebody else named Jeremy. He's still working on that project, and you know, more power to him. I hope he does really well with it. What we're doing is system wide. What he was doing for now is only one browser. It's a plugin for Firefox, so you can't use it if you have any of the other 8 browsers. A lot of people like Chrome. I like Firefox, which is what his works for. But also, the state that software is in now, Free Speech Me, it has issues. It tends to, in my experience, it will crash the browser, especially if you're viewing anything that has Flash on it, like YouTube videos.
I have noticed that.
You've noticed that. It also takes longer to open up. And it does some weird things in Windows that a lot of people wouldn't notice, but I do because I'm kind of a power Windows user. It tends to freeze a utility in Windows called Windows Event Viewer, which most people never look at, but I actually look at every morning when I get up to see how long my computer's been off, because I want to know how long I've been asleep, because I just work and work and work until I crash. I don't even look at the clock, and then I want to know how long I slept. So it kind of interferes with that a little bit. And what we're doing is not only works on any browser, but it's system-wide. So we're also working on opening it up for .bit email, which is pretty darn cool. And you could use it for FTP. Anything on your computer, it's routing through it. I'm going to keep you on if you want after the break. Do you want to stick around?
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Liberty. We'll be back in a few minutes.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Michael Dean After Dark.
This is Mr. Michael Dean, and it's After Dark, so you're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. And before we go to our caller here, I wanted to give a tip for callers, because one of my goals is not only to create as many Liberty radio and TV personalities who are confident and competent and have good equipment, but I also want to encourage the same thing with callers, because a pet peeve of mine in talk radio is the quality of sounds of phone calls. And these days, Skype and an inexpensive mic can sound so much better. I would recommend that anyone who's a serial caller or even just interested in being on radio, you know, if you call Free Talk Live, if you call the Freedom Fiends, if you call Michael Dean After Dark, go out and get yourself a good mic. We have a recommendation on our website, michaelwdean.com. Look over on the right. There's a little image of a microphone with a little glowing light on it. It says, get the inexpensive mic our co-hosts use. And Bill Bupert is using a $60 USB mic made by Audio-Technica. It's the USB-2005. It's the best mic ever. I've tried hundreds of mics. It's not the best mic ever. The best mic ever is the $500 RE20, which I'm speaking through. But the $60 USB mic that Bill's using sounds about 89% as good as this $500 mic without all the outboard gear, you know, if you follow the instructions I have for setting one up. So if you like calling shows, you should get one of those and just get one anyway so you can start doing voiceover and do your own show. So we're going to go back to the phones and talk a little bit more with Liberty, and then Bill is going to come on and – or Bill is going to tell us about health and do some life hacking with us. Are you there, Liberty?
Yes, I am, and I totally appreciate the tip to help me get a more creamy radio sound.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. Shows will keep you on longer if you have a good mic than if you have a phone, even if they don't realize it consciously. Like all other things equal, shows will keep you on longer if you sound good. So what's your thought? What was your question? I don't think we finished answering it.
Well, my main issue was, what is my motivation to get rid of free speech me if it works fine and I'm not super security conscious, just to motivate me to get up to Meowbit. I mean, why if free speech me works for me, why should I get rid of it to get Meowbit?
Well, didn't you say a few minutes ago that it tends to crash your browser?
I did say I noticed that. Yes, I did. And I did want to mention the delay that you had mentioned earlier on startup. I mean, it's all of what, 15 seconds. I mean, come on, society, really, we need to develop some patience. I think that would be rather beneficial if we had to wait a good 15 seconds for something, because this instant gratification is deteriorating our
well,
ability to do things.
I don't know about that, because everything – I live on computers. I do everything I do on computers, and shaving 15 seconds off something that I do a couple times a day – adds up to a lot of computing time that I could be doing something else, because I get up in the morning, I get on, I drink my coffee, and I have like 40 emails to answer first thing in the morning. They keep coming in. 15 seconds that I want to shave off something is worth it to me. And, you know, I mean, you're trying to get me to sell you on, you know, spending 20 minutes going from one product that I used to be involved with to another product that I think is better, and that's why I'm involved with it now. And I'm giving you the reasons, and you're agreeing with the reasons, and then you're saying, give me more reasons, and I don't really have them if it's not important to you to not have your browser crash and to be able to use things system-wide. I don't know how to sell you on that. It sounds like you've made your mind up, maybe.
Well,
yeah.
I think that as a consummate salesman, I mean, you've made an amazing sale for Meowbit. I mean, I definitely am going to be upgrading to it in the future, but I just wanted to know
I'll tell you this too.
It would be useful.
I'll give you another.
I'm not very tech savvy.
I'll give you another reason. Meowbit from meowbit.com, which is the software I'm working on now with Derek, is getting updated much quicker and having features added and bugs fixed a lot quicker. Free Speech Me has been out for 6 or 7 weeks. It has not had an update. Meowbit has been out for a week and 2 days, something like that. And we're rolling out, we've rolled out two updates and improvements that have vastly improved it. And we were going to do a third one tonight, but Derek's without power. Maine had a huge snowstorm, and he was sitting in the dark talking to me on his cell phone. So, you know, rain, sleet, or I guess dark of night is the only thing that can keep us from rolling this out. We're 24/7 with it. Another thing is we have a help forum that we answer promptly. Free Speech Me does not. and we're very proactive, and our website is up a lot more than the Free Speech Me site. It was down for 9 hours the day that we got in Bitcoin Magazine, and it's not hosted on my end, so I'm powerless over that. This is all on my site. I have total power and total control, and I like it that way, and I am responsible with that and do the best I can. You know, and I make it my life. I mean, the other guy is a good guy. He works hard, but he's a more than full-time college student. So he doesn't have enough time to take care of things the way I do, sitting in front of a computer 24/7.
All right, Mike, I appreciate that. I mean, you've been extremely succinct, and I definitely will be upgrading from Free Speech Me to the Meow Bit.
Cool. I guess the other thing is, like, you know, you say sell me on it, but I'm not really a salesman. I just get everything out in everyone's face, tell them why I like it, and let them make their decision. I'm not the kind of salesman that wiggles something in front of your face like a severed head. I just say, hey, there's this cool thing, you know?
That's the crux of the true free market. You know, you put it out there, you don't lie to people, and you just give them what it is. And that's what decides what products are going to succeed in the free market. I mean, you don't use coercion.
And I've lost money on this. I mean, I'm literally doing this as a labor of love. I'd like to make some money on it. We've made some donations, but I've also spent money on radio advertising, paid my programmer, a few other expenses. I mean, I'm literally out of pocket on this. So, you know, I do
well,
that with everything.
I may be a little bit ahead of my time on it, but I think the .bit concept is freaking amazing. Are you serious? It's a decentralized
domain
service,
you know,
that can't be torn down. That's freaking awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to be the first .bit millionaire for sure. But, you know, right now, that's going to be years from now, and I'm way out of pocket now. So, yeah, thanks for calling, and, I hope you find what you're looking for. And call back some other time, man, with a good mic, please. Thank you. Bye. All right, Bill. You there, Bill?
So,
yeah.
On to
life hacking.
Michael Talks Life Hacking. What I want to talk about was diet and nutrition and what's worked for me, because people love story narratives. They love personal stories and testimonials as it is.
Preach it, brother Bill. Preach it.
Convict conditioning and the paleo primal diet is what has turned me around and worked for me. And it's a very libertarian, it's a very ANCAP focus to do that, especially when it comes to diet, because you're doing just the opposite of what the government says you should do.
Yeah, I've looked into the paleo diet. It's not for me, but one thing I really like about it is it's pretty low or non on grains, right?
It's very much a non-grain diet, a non-gluten diet, getting away from wheat. There's two books out called Grain Brain and Wheat Belly. And if you don't want to buy the books, I would urge you to watch the interviews with the authors, who both happen to be MDs, I think, or biochemists.
Now I'm going to bring this to the state for 2 seconds. Isn't grain what largely created the government, because people went from hunting and gathering and then they suddenly were in one place and it was a lot easier to tax them and say, we have to store this for your own good. Give us a bunch.
You know, I think you're onto something, because of course urban cultures are the embryonic atmosphere and culmination of all socialist collectivist experimentation in human society and forming human societies. And it's twofold. It's because farming has to be a stationary enterprise in which it turns into a large aggregated collectivist effort to make it do well. But on the other hand, what it is it's all about urban folks pride themselves on their lack of self-sufficiency. I'm certain that you have friends maybe in San Francisco or New York City, whatever the case may be. You'll visit them. They live in a tiny apartment. They open up their refrigerator and all they have is condiments.
Oh, yeah. They make jokes about it. They make jokes if they get a flat tire and have to call AAA. They're like, hey, I'm just a girl. Even if they're not a girl, they're like,
And they pride themselves on that. And of course, if there's ever a grid down scenario in America, whether through an EMP or sabotage, whatever the case may be, all these cities are going to become cannibal holocausts in 72 hours.
I'm laughing, but it's probably true. It just sounds like a funny description. Yeah.
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 What really sells me on the paleo diet, there are a lot of things that sell me, but what really sells me is the fact that when you look at Cordrain's work and some of the other work on ancestral diets and looking at the 100,000-year body that we possess, that we have inherited, that very slowly and gradually and glacially evolves over time, we are designed to eat meat. Whatever the vegans, the vegetarians, the raw foodies say, we're designed to eat meat. The reason why our eyes look forward and aren't on the side of our head is that we're predators and we're not flight animals. Because we have our eyes situated the way they are, we have depth perception. Our teeth are designed for rending flesh. We don't have bovine stomachs, multiple stomachs. We have one stomach, which is perfectly proportioned and designed for processing protein versus vegetable matter. That doesn't mean vegetable matter is not good, because in my paleo diet, I can eat all the vegetables that I want with no guilt whatsoever. I can eat a lot of meat. The things I can't eat is I have to cut way down, if not zero out sugar. I can't have grains. I can't have rice. I can't have wheat. And for a lot of people, that really levies up against their convenience. Because one reason why fast food is so popular in America is what you're speaking to, Michael, with the caller you just had, where you said, I've got limited time. I'm trying to be very effective and efficient with my time. So even 20 seconds or 15 seconds is a big deal, which is why we go to Wendy's and we pick up a hamburger, which has those two wheat slices on top of the stuff that's in the middle that we want to get into our gullets, and we can grab it and we don't have to use a fork and knife to do so.
Yeah,
and knife meaning a plate. So
I think that cat was possibly confusing what I do, which is really optimizing every second I'm awake to efficiency, to basically doing Liberty Media. He was confusing that, I think, with like the tweet culture of like kids who can't form complete sentences and, you know, can't look up from their cell phone. I don't even have a smartphone, man. I'm not that guy.
Nor do I. I have a dumb phone and I'm proud of it.
Yeah. We'll be back with more of Bill Buppert.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. This is what radio sounds like now.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
I'm Michael Dean, and it's After Dark, so that means it's Michael Dean After Dark. I'm going to have to work on that tagline and come up with a better one, but y'all would be amazed at the mind of Bill Buppert. I mean, we talk sometimes when it's not radio days. We talk before radio. We talk after radio. We talk during radio. I mean, if you guys could hear and be a fly on my shoulder and hear just when the commercials are on, it doesn't stop. Bill and I just can't be stopped. We can't stop talking. He started telling me something about the battle of something and the battle of unobtainium from World War IX back in the fourth dimension. And it was a great story and I wanted to hear it all. And then I'm like, he starts telling it. I'm like, 5 seconds till we go on air. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing great. And we'll continue that off air because I wanted to continue talking about diet and exercise.
But yeah,
we can, talk about the Battle of Agincourt sometime in the future.
How about this? During the next commercial, I'll keep rolling and you can tell it during the commercial and we'll put it in the podcast.
That'll be great.
All right.
We'll plug it in then.
So diet, exercise.
So what's convinced me that paleo and primal is great for me is I used to have severe gastrointestinal flux and heartburn. Once I got wheat out of my diet, which for the first fortnight was incredibly difficult because wheat's like crack. I mean, it has a connection, especially the wheat the GMO wheat that we consume today. It has a connection to our brains that makes us feel very, very good. It causes endorphin rushes and all kinds of things. So for that first 2 weeks, very difficult for me to get off of it. But my cravings for wheat gradually tapered off. It'll do two things. Well, it'll do a number of things for you. But if you happen to have a distended belly where you look like somebody who's malnourished from Somalia, or you consume a lot of beer, and you have that where you're in a race to exceed your height by your girth, once you get off wheat, you're going to discover that sometime you're going to be able to see your six pack in the next 2-3 months if you work at it, in concert with the exercise routine that I use.
What is your exercise routine? You said something like convict conditioning?
Yeah, it's called convict conditioning. And I sent you a PDF cheat sheet for it. And what it basically is six basic exercises that you do that help you to develop a very strong body. If your audience looks up convict conditioning, both volumes by Paul Wade on Amazon, and I'm not flogging the book, you can buy it if you want to, or you can just take a look at it. These guys who do this can do incredible feats of strength. And what I was weight training for most of my adult life, and I've suffered some injuries as a result of that, among other things. The reason for that is because weights, whenever we go to the gym, whatever weights that you use, whether they're free weights or machine weights, what those weights do is they isolate your muscles in artificial conditions in which joints, tendons, and ligaments aren't exercised in concert with the strengthening of the muscles themselves. And the body isn't working in concert as a holistic organism because it's being isolated at the arms, at the shoulders, and places like that. What you find with convict conditioning is that because it's all about push-ups, pull-ups, squats, and what's called a bridge, and another device where what you're doing with the bridge is you're actually arching your back like a cat in reverse who's startled.
Huh.
And the other one is upside down push-ups. Now, you ask yourself, well, how much can you get out of that? Well, here's what you get out of it. If you can do 100 push-ups, then start doing them one-armed. If you could do 100 one-arm push-ups, well, start doing them against the wall. The same thing applies for the squats that you would do. The same thing applies for the pull-ups that you would do. If you can do 20 pull-ups and it's no sweat, well, start doing it modified one-arm or modifying it in asymmetrical ways. You'll find it's a great way to strengthen yourself, and it's also a way that where your joints, ligaments, and tendons are exercised in concert with the rest of your body in an isometric fashion, in a fashion in which our bodies actually operate. You do that in concert with yoga, and you can turn your body into quite the sports chassis.
That sounds interesting. I'm not going to do it. But, you know, you send me PDFs, and I'm like, I'm not going to look at that. But you have to realize the audience likes it. Like, you recommended some band last night, and it's like, I'm not going to do that. And we got an email saying, that was great. I'm so glad Bill turned me on to that.
That's because Zeppelin rocks.
Yeah. We'll have more in hour two.
That's MichaelWDean.com.
Good evening, my fellow
worms. I know some things I don't know.
I'll be back with more later on.
I'm never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
The stato sperimentato.
We had enough
on scene.
The United States government presents
no vision.
Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Esto por su parte considera
to provide guidance to mankind.
Go to MichaelWDean.com for more. That's MichaelWDean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons.
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This is Michael Dean, and it's After Dark, and this is hour two of Michael Dean After Dark. We're talking to Bill Buberge, who's telling us some life hacking tips about living right. You know, life hacking, I think that's a term that's connected with the TED Talks, or maybe I'm mixing them up, but TED Talks are put on in conjunction with O'Reilly Media, which has nothing to do with Bill O'Reilly, but it's a publishing company that I've written for. I've written several books for O'Reilly Media. And that's another thing people don't know that I did. Yeah, I write tech books pretty much for a living, that and make documentary films. But I make more of my living from tech books. And I will never be invited probably to speak at a TED Talk because there's a kind of a thing. Have you noticed this, Bill, about how there seems to be this deep river of statism in a lot of hard science and theoretical science?
I do see that. And I think that we talked about this maybe a month or two ago when I talked about I've been a member of the Committee for the Scientific Investigation of Claims of the Paranormal. I get Skeptic Magazine and the Skeptical Inquirer.
Randy.
Skeptic. Yep.
You're feeling Randy? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes. The Randy Foundation. But the thing that aggravates me about it is that when it comes to global warming, it's crickets. And they're all aboard with the global warming. Plus,
oh, the skeptics? Secular,
yes. Yeah. And the skeptics and their secular humanism, they I can't say the rude thing I was about to say. I'm glad I checked myself. But they have a childlike reverence for the power of the state.
Statheists? That's the word.
Yes, they are statheists.
I don't know who came up with that, but I really like it. That's atheists who are religious about the state. They are statheists. And
I like that. That's the first time I heard it, but I like it. Yes.
Not all scientists. Yeah, it's a good one. Not all scientists are statists. Do you know Kevin McKernan?
I do.
Yeah, he's a friend of ours who's a DNA researcher, and he's kind of a punk rock DNA researcher. He does not have an advanced degree. He just decided to start doing it and actually has received commendations from the president of the United States for his work. That's how
So he's Tony like Dr. Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah. Yeah. He actually was invited to the White House to meet Clinton for his work for not Clinton's work for Kevin McKernan's work in working on the Human Genome Project. And Kevin also was the first person to map the genome of the cannabis plant, which is quite a useful thing. And one of the reasons he did it was to keep somebody else from doing it and patenting it. And
interesting.
That's a pretty noble thing to do. I like that cat. I like him a lot. I like the way his brain works. I asked him about global warming, which is kind of an interesting question to ask him because, first of all, nothing about global warming is in his purview of expertise. And he is one of the rare scientists who will say, that is not my area of expertise, where a lot of scientists I've met are like, they have a PhD in, microbiology, so they can tell you how geology and earth sciences work, and they have to give you an opinion on it. But Kevin,
well, I approach climate change as an economist, not a scientist, and I'm on the third, I guess you could call it the third way of observing it. I don't think that I don't think there's an anthropogenic reason for global warming or global cooling, whatever the case may be, which means human based. I don't think humans have nothing to do with it. I think the global weather system is so complex that there is no way through the best fractal or chaos theory to predict what are going to be the correlative or causative effects of man on the weather system.
That was basically Kevin's answer too. And with an addendum that I'm sure you would add if I hadn't jumped in here, which is that it's any science that could come in at this point is so tainted because there's so many agendas in controlling all of the things that contribute or don't contribute to that. You know, basically they want to tax the air you breathe, and they want to tax the sun, and they want to tax the water, and they want to tax your car even more. So there's so many agendas of getting the tentacles into your head that who knows what the science is.
Indeed.
And,
I agree.
And there was a huge, like, they got busted. They got busted fudging the math. Like, you know, emails were leaked and nobody cared. Like all the people who are basing their life on, we have to tax every breath you take, didn't even acknowledge that. That's kind of mind blowing and very unscientific.
And you're talking about the climate research unit, the CRU over in the UK. And what was astonishing to me is that when they were asked, well, show us the data so we can come up with our own conclusions using the very data sets you came up with to arrive at your conclusions, they said what is probably the cardinal sin in the scientific method, which is that, well, we lost the data. Got it.
My dog ate my homework.
Exactly.
That's the PhD version of the dump. Yeah. My dog ate my homework, man.
I did, if I could, since we're doing life hacking on Michael Talks, I did want to continue very briefly on what I was talking about before. The Paleo Primal Diet deserves a lot of attention from your audience, and I would urge them to investigate it and to look at Wheat Belly and Grain Brain and the reviews. Buy the books if you wish, or get Gary Taub's book on Why We Get Fat. Or if you're very courageous, you can read his monster-like tome called Good Calories, Bad Calories, of which Why We Get Fat is sort of like an elucidation of that in a shorter format. And the other thing I was talking about was convict conditioning, isometric exercising. And it comes down to six basic exercises, which is the pull-up, the push-up, the squat, the leg raise, and two additional ones, which is a back bridge where you're arching your back, and the upside-down push-up and variations thereof. What's so great about these is not only do you not need a gym membership to do them. Why do you think they call it convict conditioning?
Yeah, because you could do it without any equipment.
Exactly.
Like in a jail cell. You could do it without equipment.
Exactly. Exactly. But it works your muscles in concert with each other with a whole body synthesis that allows you to do the things with your body that you're always going to do instead of isolating them artificially as you would with free weights or assisted Nautilus machines and things like that.
What does a typical day look like for you?
My wife and I go to the gym 5 days a week. We also walk together. I had to run most of my adult life because of my prior profession, and I really loathe running. And running's bad for me, and I've suffered some degenerative effects as a result of that with bad knees and things like that from being on that military athletic scholarship. But we do isometrics and convict conditioning 3 times a week. Twice a week, I do aerobics work at the gym, and then 3 times a week, the wife and I walk. We'll walk 2 to 5 miles, depending on our mood. My wife has a friend who walks. She's working on a half marathon, so sometimes my wife will go for 10-mile yomps and things like that. We'll walk the dogs, things like that. But what I always have to fight, Michael, is that unlike my wife, who's very high energy, I have to fight a low energy that I've had all my life. I mean, I just don't have the energy deposit that most normal humans do. I think mine's very – I border on fatigue syndrome.
Is that really a thing? I mean –
You know, I don't know whether it is. I'm a skeptic, and you and I talked about this off air concerning psychotherapy and psychoanalysis and stuff like that, and I'm a Thomas Sass fan. He wrote the Myth of Mental Illness and those kind of things, where he sees psychotherapy and psychology as not only bad science and voodoo to a large extent, but it really riffs off the state in a very abusive fashion to use the state as a cudgel to make people behave the way the psychologists think that we do or think that they'd like us to. For instance, you and I suffer from opposition and defiance disorders. So
yeah, without going too far off the beaten path here and without getting too deep into tyranny, I want to get, you know, here's the thing, like, I don't mind talking about tyranny, I'm just bored to tears with what most radio is, which is they pick up the newspaper or they look at their Twitter feed and they react to what those tyrants did today. And I like talking to you for a lot of reasons, and one is that you know a lot about what those tyrants did 100 years ago and 200 years ago and 1,000 years ago. And you know that history rhymes if it doesn't repeat. And what I want to ask you is, why are there so many control freaks in the world?
Well, it's because you and I, as libertarians, as ANCAPs, as abolitionists, as INTJs, as Enneagram 5s, the kind of people that we are, we're single-digit population numbers. And the vast majority of people are people for whom obedience is a duty. We talked about this yesterday, where I hear all this noise from the hippies, from both left and right, where they say, question authority. And that's grand. But when you question authority, you're not doing it from – personally, I'm a Stoic, a capital S Stoic. And as a Stoic, for me, it's question obedience. You can question authority, but that's outside yourself. If you question obedience, that makes you the free moral agent that takes the decision on just what you're going to do to compromise your self-ownership that day.
Yeah. control freaks, man. That's
surrounded by them.
I think Larkin Rose is the guy who started calling them that, and I hadn't heard them called that since the 60s. He didn't invent it, but I think he's the guy that brought that one into the Liberty Movement, and I really like it.
Larkin's pretty amazing. I've said it before on your show. That guy is probably the Thomas Paine of our age. No one is more eloquent or puts it in more stark and I would say definitionally simple terms that everyone can understand. Just why government is the greatest superstition, you know, riffing off the title of one of his books.
And he's very everyman about it in a non-pretentious way. Like, I don't want to use the word pretentious, but like Stefan Molyneux is brilliant. And I can't argue with a lot of what most of what he says. I'm like, man, that is spot on. But I always kind of feel like I'm being lectured down to by a professor with him, whereas Larkin seems like someone I'd have a non-alcoholic beer with, you know?
I agree with you. I think that's completely the case. But you know, we're surrounded by people though, for whom control of other human beings has been branded into their brains. I mean, almost burn branded into their brains by parents who have attended the government schools, by them attending the government schools, and by the continued reinforcement of the government schools and the government media complex. Riffing off of all the crap that you're taught in government obedience classes and not having critical thinking, not being able to employ logic, not being asked to employ logic. And then you couple that with the last three generations and their electronic leash fixations that they have that I think are seriously hampering and compromising their ability to cogitate and think in the long term.
Well, they used to teach that in school. They used to have debate classes, and now they have how to fill out your voter application classes. We'll be back.
I was a homeschool debate coach, as a matter of fact.
That sounds feisty. We'll be back after this trip to the market with Bill Buebert from ZeroGov.com.
This radio show is called Michael Dean After Dark. Go to MichaelWDean.com to help keep it drone-proof.
And we're back. Yeah, that's me clearing my throat. Because I'm Michael Dean and it's After Dark and I can do what I want. This is my show. If you choose to listen, you might hear me clear my throat once in a while. If you don't choose to listen, you'll never hear me clear my throat. And you guys just would be astonished at the between segments patter. I was talking with Bill. We were talking about ramming cars and the best way to do it. And we're not talking about breaking the law. He's talking about executive security, something called offensive driving. I thought he was kidding about defensive driving, but no, it's offensive driving. And what did you say about why it makes more sense to ram someone with the back of your car than the front of your car if you have to get away from them?
Well, because your reverse gear is the steepest gear, and the steepest gear is the most powerful gear in low RPMs. And by hitting them with the trunk, you're not going to do any damage to your powertrain nor drivetrain. And you're also going to take the impact not on a 2-inch piece of nylon across your chest and waist, but the entirety of your back against the back of the seat.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, I had to cue off something I heard in that, and I was about to tell a story I didn't get to that I'll tell now that's very brief, is I used to have a roommate when I was just getting off drugs 20 years ago. He's dead now. But he was a weight trainer and a very fit guy and did a lot of exercise, and had been a really horrible drug addict, like far worse than me, and had gotten clean around the same time. And we were like four or five sober guys living in a house. It wasn't like an assigned house. We just were all roommates together, going to meetings together and staying sober. And this guy was kind of interesting to me. He was born the same day and year as me. I've only ever met one other person that I know was born the same day and the same year as me. So we shared that in common, but he didn't stay clean. And he got arrested for ramming a police car in his car while he was naked. That's pretty weird.
That's very odd.
Yeah.
And I don't recommend that.
Good times. Okay. So let's get back to diet and exercise. We went off on a million tangents, but that's the kind of show this is. But we bring them back to where they came from, and that's why it's good.
Well, you know, I'll just tie a bow on it very briefly by saying that the paleo primal diet and the convict conditioning work really well together. There's a Mark Sisson has a webpage called The Daily Apple. And when you look at this guy, I think that he's 58, 59, 60. He's in incredible shape. He has a 30-something athletic body. It's amazing. You know, now a brief story to show you just how fit one can remain even as long in the tooth as I am is all my children were home for Christmas, and we went to a park to have a family outing. Well, there were these parallel bars there, and my son said, "Hey, Dad, I can out dip you." Well, he can't, and he thought he could. So we start pumping him out, and my son is 21. He's very buff. He's very fit. He does a lot of very heavy physical stuff up in North Dakota right now, making big bucks. And by the time he got to 21, he was done. So I cranked out five more, and I just smiled at him. And then I said, "Well, can you do a modified clutch flag?" And a modified clutch flag is where you take your body on a pole and you stretch out the entirety of your body and your legs straight so that they are parallel to the ground. In other words, you are perpendicular to the pole and parallel to the ground. Well, my son couldn't do that, but I could do that. So, you know, it just shows you that when you work on the whole body, when you work at diet and you work at exercise, you can do some very significant physical achievements even in older age. But I would also caution everybody in the audience, don't think that just because we have all of this at our disposal that all the rest of the athletes in history are not up to speed. Because if you read a book called Manthropology, he talks about all these incredible physical feats like the Greeks and the Romans at the time that they did without the gymnasium equipment, without the Nautilus, without all that. And what they primarily used was isometrics.
And they invented that because that's geometry, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And you know what? This primal diet, it's in our DNA. We were designed and meant to have a Neolithic diet because that's what we were built for.
Now, to get back to the thing of it was very succinct and very much wrapped, very, very pretty bow you wrapped on that.
Excellent.
What I was wondering, you know, the thing about, and this is kind of a devil's advocate, but when you mentioned that grain has to be done in one place, that farming, agriculture has to be done in one place, it's getting to the point where that's pretty much the only thing that does. I mean, I guess manufacturing large things like cars and, steam engines or whatever has to be done in one place. But I think we're kind of getting to a place with 3D printing where that may no longer be true. What I'm going for is, I think if people could get used to eating algae, we'd be less addicted to the state because we wouldn't have to eat things that are factory farmed. Could be done.
But you beg the question, because what you're doing is you're fighting your own evolutionary characteristics by doing that.
You are destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yeah, that's me clearing my throat again. Had the mic up. Live mic. Hot mic. Hot mic coming through. Hot mic coming through. This is your host, Hot Mic. No, this is Michael Dean, and it's After Dark. So it's Michael Dean After Dark. I got to come up with a better one. I kind of like that one, though. It's pretty darn funny. So Bill and I were talking during the break, and we were talking about the difference between alpha males and just wanting to be in control of your own little world. And, you know, a lot of people look at me as a kind of a control freak. Bill was asking me, you know, how's the show been going? He did last night, and I had two different co-hosts the first and second night. And the first night was incredible. It was my friend Mike, who I've known in life, in, you know, I know him, like we were downstairs neighbors and played in a band together in San Francisco and LA. And I know him really well, and he helped bring me to Liberty. And he's done The Fiends a few times, and he actually said he would do the first show. I asked him to do the first show, and he said, "But it's my last show, and I'm actually turning in my microphone," because I'd lent him a microphone to get him to do it. And he sent me the mic the next day, and we're still friends, but he basically said, "I don't want to be Joe Satriani's bass player." And I don't know if you know Joe Satriani. Do you know, you don't know rock, do you, Bill?
I do. I know Joe Satriani, even though I think Jeff Beck is better.
Yeah, Joe Satriani is one of those, how does my wife describe him? Too many notes for the royal ear guitar players, to quote the movie Amadeus. Yeah, he's a noodler. He's a great noodler, but he's a noodler, and being his bass player would be an unfulfilling job if you want to stand out in the spotlight at all, which is what Mike was saying. So, yeah, and it basically it's like, you know, I don't want to control anybody. And you said something about, like, you know, we're both alphas, and so we kind of butt heads. And I said we're kind of getting to a rhythm to where it's going to be really good from now on. And it's been great. People have loved it. They've been writing in. But, you know, you were like, how is it? And I'm like, well, the guy who'd never been on radio that I had on Tuesday was fabulous because he didn't have any expectations and let me lead. And you pointed out that we're both alphas. And I said, yeah, we kind of are, but in our own little realms. I don't like the term alpha male because it sounds like you want to control and belittle and berate and destroy everyone around you. And that's, we're not like that, you and I, but we, I like to have a lot of control in projects that I create and that I, you know, spearhead or whatever, just because I generally can do things on the fly really, really quickly the way I want to and get them done. And you do the same thing. And we want to talk about writing. You're a writer, Bill. What do you write?
I got a riff on one thing, though, that you said that I have to speak to here, and that's when it comes to alpha males. One reason why alpha males have a bad rap is the same reason the word discrimination has a bad rap. Everybody thinks that discrimination is a bad thing, yet absent discrimination, we can't think critically. And I would tell you that alpha males tend to be very effective leaders. And if there's one effective leader in the history of mankind who I follow to a T and worship and admire, despite the fact that he's long dead, is Ernest Shackleton. If you adopt Shackleton's way, there's an alpha male among alpha males, a man's man of the highest water. Yet, he was a guy who didn't simply push people around. He led by example. He shared in the pain. He supported his people. He was full of honor and integrity. So being an alpha male doesn't necessarily have to be freighted with a lot of bad juju.
Yeah. It's kind of sad that a lot of people who have a lot of males who have a lot of shimmering qualities tend to end up in military high level positions or politics, because that's the easiest way in society to be rewarded for those things. And I have a lot of admiration for people like Bill Gates and Steve Jobs, even though I have incredibly deep critiques of both of those men for different things that they've done. But
sure,
you know, I kind of like the revenge of the nerds. I kind of like what the internet did. You know, today was the 25th anniversary of the web. Do you know that?
I did know that.
You know that because everyone knows that because Google flashed it in your face all day, but you use StartPage. How'd you know that?
Because StartPage also mentioned it. And you should use StartPage too, Mike.
StartPage is basically just Google without the NSA, right?
Well, so they say. You know, I'm a severe skeptic of the NSA not having a backdoor into everything under the American sun.
Well, it came out today that they've been, like, hijacking Facebook users and making them think they're on Facebook and then installing malevolent software to spy on them. And it's like, every time there's breaking news like this now, I'm like, I was saying this a year ago, but I didn't have any proof and y'all laughed at me. It's kind of like, you know, whoever would have thought that Dale Gribble on King of the Hill was the smartest one of all of them.
So writing. Let's talk about writing.
I got one thing quick to say. One quick thing to say.
We can spend just a few minutes on the state.
One quick funny thing about Google.
Your show, Mike.
Yeah, my friend Derek, my programmer. I have a picture of him I really like. I'm like, are you wearing a shirt in that says Skynet? And he wrote back, "Yep, it says Skynet. It's next year's Google logo. I pre-ordered the shirt."
That reminds me of one of my favorite T-shirts of all time, which read "Stop Plate Tectonics."
Stop the basic way the earth works.
Freighted with innuendo. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So writing.
I am presently writing 6 hours a day because I'm working on a novel. I'm writing 2 books this year, one nonfiction, one fiction. And writing takes a lot of discipline to do. You've got to sit at it and do it like a job. You have to critique. You have to be a compulsive editor. And you have to go through a lot of edits and drafts when you're doing it, and you have to have the thick skin. Like, I have to have really thick skin with my wife when she looks at my stuff, because she marks the crap out of it, which helps me. It diminishes. I shrink a little when that happens, but nonetheless, I heroically go back to the keyboard and start slashing at it again. But in the end, writing, it takes discipline. But one thing that allows me, I write twice a week for my blog. I'm writing my novel, and I also read a lot. When I write my novel, I put together an outline beforehand. So I'm not what's called a pantser in writer parlance, which is seat of your pants. I don't write seat of your pants. I have an outline that's fairly detailed, almost like a storyboard of what I'm going to do. But while I'm writing the novel, I discover that I'm having to make some modifications, some nips and tucks to that, either to make it more credible or to make it flow better. But absent that outline, I would be lost at sea.
You know, I lived in Los Angeles for several years, and every coffee shop there has 20 or 30 people hammering away at laptops, and they all want to be the next big thing. They all want to be, as it says in that movie, one of my favorite movies about writers and about the film industry, The Player with Tim Robbins. They all want to be playing golf with Jack next year. You know, they all think that what they're writing is going to get them there. And yes. The thing I never see them do, I always see people writing in cafes. I never see anyone in cafes editing or planning, which are the two ends of writing something feature length, book or screenplay, that are more important than the writing itself, is the, you know, writing the outline. The outline changes, of course. The story tells you where to change it as you go, but you have to write something. I mean, I write constantly. I write books for a living, but I don't write books anymore. I don't like to write. I prefer the spoken these days because it just flows for me more. But I'm constantly writing things down. I'm making notes during our breaks of what we're going to talk about next.
I have a friend who dictates his books, and then he uses, I think it's Dragon, and then he goes in and he edits what it types on the text.
Yep, that could work. That could definitely work. You know, there's another thing I want to mention in that movie, The Player. It's kind of about how I'm really glad that we got to where we're not talking much about tyranny. I think we're talking just enough about tyranny because I want this show to be the show that would happen after the government's gone out of the way, but we know it really isn't. We're not hiding our head in the sand, so we're kind of acknowledging that it exists, but we're still kind of doing the show we do in LibPair. But
this is Michael Talks AD.
Yeah, Michael Talks ADD. Just that's the extra special
instead
version
of Michael Talks BC, which would be before Christ. This is Anno Domini.
Yeah, and it's at late night. It's the Michael Talks ADD. But there's a scene in that movie. There's a scene in that movie that kind of reminded me of yesterday, because yesterday I said, let's do a show where we don't talk about the government, and it worked fine for an hour. And then my good friend Lou called in and he asked you a question, and you guys just started talking about tyranny for like an hour, and I just turned my mic down and I just like answered emails. It was good radio, but it wasn't what I wanted. So there's a scene in that movie, The Player, where there's a bunch of, you know, high-level Hollywood film producers sitting around in a fancy restaurant having dinner. And, you know, they're talking about movies, and Tim Robbins' character says, hey, we're all educated people. We're intelligent. Let's talk about something other than movies. And they all look like they're about to say something, and then they can't, and they all start laughing and go back to talking about movies. You know, when you kind of – Boston Tea Party used the phrase steeping in your libertarian juices. It's like, I don't want to steep in my libertarian tyranny juices, because you end up a nervous wreck, man, polishing your bayonet, looking through the window shades. I don't want to be that guy. So writing, Bill, what makes you write, and what would you do if you didn't write, and how – you can't not write is what I'm asking, right?
Well, I've got to write it. And, you know, writing makes you smarter. It really does, because it makes you discipline your thinking when you have to apply it to paper, so that you don't look like a butthead when you give it to other people to read. Because you're concerned not only about structure, you're concerned about the logic of the argument, the rhetoric of the argument, the grammar of the argument, how well you've articulated it, how well you've elucidated it. You could write like Churchill, who had a 10,000-word vocabulary, or you could write like Larkin Rose or everything in between. And I'm not criticizing Larkin Rose. We spoke earlier. He's the Tom Paine of our era. He speaks, I wouldn't say in simplistic terms, but he speaks in such simple and elegant terms, everybody gets his message, which is valuable.
That's why he's so popular. And he also never – I get kind of bored with three-act format A to B to C. I still use that. And I, you've been on shows with me enough to know that before the last 5 minute segment, I go, all right, let's get some redemption in the third act. How are we going to finish this up and tie it up in a bow? I always do that because right. I always, especially on a nighttime show, man, I don't want to give people nightmares. I literally want to send them to bed with a smile on their face. But, Larkin works very clearly. I tend to get kind of bored with that kind of stuff and do things that are less commercial in things like going down parenthetical, Conan-centric, hypertextual wormholes and trying to come out in the same place. You know, you can kind of go on as many asides as you want as long as you come back to it. There's actually Henry Rollins. He's an incredible statist, but I really like his spoken word stuff and his books. I've listened to a lot of his talks, he'll do like 2 hour shows and I'll download them, watch them video, watch it, listen audio. And there was one that really bugged me. I loved all of them except one. And I couldn't figure out why. And after a few times of listening, I realized he started a story and then he went off on a tangent and he never came back and finished the story. And I didn't even realize it consciously, but it really bugged me subconsciously.
Sure. I'm surprised that a guy can have a band called Black Flag and he's a collectivist government supremacist.
Yeah, man, Black Flag is the anarchist flag of old, and he joined it. He didn't start that band though, or name it. He joined it later, so that's why.
Okay.
I also can't believe someone who's been beaten up by cops as much as he has, or talks about having been beaten up, can like the state.
You gotta wonder.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and yes, we're broadcasting this message into space. Meowbit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. Meowbit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address in our free software, Meowbit. Go to meowbit.com. That's meowbit.com. It's almost bedtime, but not quite yet. I'm Michael Dean After Dark. We're going to hear a little redemption in the third act here about the act of writing from Dr. Bill Buford. I've just given him an honorary doctorate in Freedom Fiends Michael Dean University. So, Dr. Bill, take
us. If that's Michael Dean University, I am a proud laureate.
Well, I'm
institution of higher learning.
I'm Michael Dean, MD, in that university. So you're a Bill Buford PhD as of about 3 seconds ago. So go ahead, doctor.
Excellent. So writing is cathartic. Writing is an exercise in taking your brain case and applying it to the world outside of yourself. You know, we often talk about self-ownership and the importance of living our lives as freely and fully as we want to. Writing liberates you. It liberates your brain because what it does is it makes you discipline your thinking to such an extent that you can take that and you can give it to other people and you can say, so this is what I'm thinking. And when I think on paper, I can think in a far more sophisticated and almost complexified fashion, using the word complexity in the fractal chaotic milieu where we're talking about the butterfly flapping its wings in China and affecting the weather in the United States and that kind of thing. Because what we're doing here is we're taking all these parts and pieces of spontaneous order. I mean, think about it. That's what a novel is. All of us have read, those of us who read, all of us have read a novel or a work of nonfiction that's really stuck with us. When I read No Treason by Lysander Spooner, I was blown away by so many aspects of Spooner's writing. I was blown away by his prescience, by his logical order that he used, by the way he applied seemingly disparate pieces of evidence into this really elegant, bow-tied, gift-wrapped package that said to me, if you don't consent, don't do it. Now, he said that in more words than I just described, but he said it very elegantly and very compellingly, where Lysander Spooner is the patron saint of my website, and I also consider him to be one of the writing examples of my life. Some other writing exemplars for me would be like Hemingway and Faulkner, because they could take words and they could smith them in a way where it makes you sit back after you've read a book. Because remember, reading doesn't take place until you take your eyes off the page. so you can assimilate it and think about it and look at those glorious blue skies. Even in your bunker, Michael, you could do that. You could look at those blue skies and you can think and contemplate and actually register what it means in your own head and interpret it for yourself. Because writing is not only an act of catharsis, writing is an act of revelation. Writing gives you the opportunity to take whomever you think the creator is, whether you believe in that or not, to take this glorious mechanism that we have in our brain cases connected to our soul, to our souls and our hearts, assimilate that and put it in a package and sit back and say, I have actually created something by gathering thoughts from other people, by assimilating those thoughts through my own mind, putting them on paper, and I can share this with people, especially in this internet age where Michael and I can share our stuff, whether you like it or not, on our blogs, on our radio shows, things like that. And it's going to connect with people. Writing allows you to connect with people at almost an existential level because you're communicating with whoever wants to read it. That could be a dozen people. That could be hundreds of people. It could be millions of people. And you can actually have an impact on the future in a much greater way. Now, by the way, I know I had to conclude this real soon. You can't be a good writer if you're not a good reader. I recommend to your audience that they get a book by Mortimer Adler called How to Read a Book. I know that sounds rather self-referential and maybe even silly in an absurd fashion, but it is not, because he goes over the five levels of reading. He teaches you how to read effectively. It's much like what Michael and I were talking about on a break. You may think you're a good driver, but until you attend certain driving schools like a racing school up in Phoenix, Arizona, or other schools that are available to other organizations throughout the U.S., you'll discover that you really don't have a clue about how a car works until you really look into the physics of it, until you get into one, you go over 120 miles per hour, until you get on a track that really challenges you, until you get in inclement conditions, and you're doing some pretty wild stuff. Writing does that. Writing makes you smarter.
It's all about art. Whether you're banging out three shaky chords in the garage or painting the ceiling of the cathedral, you are declaring your intention to smear your soul on the veil of the infinite.
God, that's beautiful.
I wrote that.
This has been Michael Dean After Dark. I hope we've helped calm the hamster in your brain and left you in a better place than where we found you. We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. Good night.